Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So far on these Wednesdays in Lent, we've looked at three biblical emphases, important teachings that run throughout the Scriptures. Original sin, justification by faith alone, and last week, the means of grace. It was through those means of grace that you were called by the gospel, which is the means of grace, into the kingdom of God. It was the Holy Spirit using those means of grace who called you by the gospel, as we confess in the third article of the Creed. The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. That's one kind of calling that we talk about. The gospel call to faith. It goes out to everyone. Repent and believe in Christ. Come into the Master's vineyard. Come to the wedding banquet of the Son. It's essentially a call to holy baptism, a call that has been heeded by every baptized Christian. Now, among those who have been called to faith in Christ by the gospel, among the baptized, we speak of two other types of calling. So, first, there was that gospel call to faith. But now, two other kinds of calling that we talk about, or vocation, as we say. And if you know anything about Latin, vocation comes from the Latin word vocatio, which simply means calling. So calling and vocation really mean the same thing. This evening we're going to consider the biblical emphasis on vocation as it applies to Christians. The one type of calling for Christians that we talk about, for those who have been baptized, doesn't apply to all Christians. We refer, as you know, to the divine call. That is the call of pastors into the office of the holy ministry. That's the first kind of calling. There's the second kind of calling, which is usually what we mean when we talk about vocation, and that's the calling that the vocation or calling that describes all the various responsibilities that God has given to Christians within their own callings as Christians. So let's talk for a moment about that divine call, that kind of calling into the office of the ministry. The divine call isn't normally what we mean, as I said, when we talk about vocation. It's a special call that goes out to men whom God has specifically chosen to preach and to teach and to administer His sacraments. The divine call may be a call that comes directly from God, directly from Jesus, as in the case of the Old Testament prophets, or in the case of the apostles themselves who were sent out directly by Jesus, including the apostle Paul, who was called directly by Jesus on the road to Damascus. Or, as you heard in that second lesson this evening from Luke 10, when Jesus Himself personally sent out those other 70 men to go two by two and preach in the towns where He Himself was about to go. We call that kind of divine call an immediate call. That is, a call made directly by God without any human means. But since the time of the Apostle Paul, God doesn't call people that way. Instead, He calls them through or by means of His church. We call that a mediate or a mediated call. To the men who were appointed as ministers in the city of Ephesus, for example, not by Jesus directly, but by the apostles and by the churches in Ephesus who sent them and called them and appointed them to be elders or pastors, this is what St. Paul said. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So God the Holy Spirit had made them overseers of the church, but he did it through the call that they received from the church into that ministry, as God the Holy Spirit still does today. That's the teaching of the Lutheran Church, and very different from the modern evangelical churches, whose pastors are expected to be called directly by God somehow, either with a burning in the heart or a burden on the heart or with a whispering in the ear. They expect to be told directly by God that they're supposed to be pastors. And the churches are simply supposed to believe them when they say, "I felt God calling me." That's not how the New Testament works. That's not how the divine call works according to Scripture. The divine call carries with it the authority of Christ. Paul says, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us." Or, "We are stewards of the mysteries of God." And because ministers are called and sent by Christ, whether directly or indirectly, his words from Luke 10 that you heard this evening apply to all the same. "He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me." So that's the divine call, which goes out to certain men among those who have been baptized. We have the gospel call to faith, which has gone out to the whole world and has been heeded by all who have gone and been baptized. We have the divine call into the holy ministry. Now we come to that calling that we call vocation, that every Christian has one, or at least one, usually many more than that. One's vocation includes all the roles and responsibilities that God has assigned to his people for the purpose of serving our neighbor in love. It includes preachers, so the preaching office is one vocation among many, but it also includes the hearers of the word. That's a vocation. It includes a man, a woman, being a boy or a girl, a father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, husband, wife, widow, employer, employee, master, servant, king, ruler, soldier, citizen, teacher, student, neighbor, farmer, truck driver, computer programmer, engineer, garbage man, bank teller, plumber, electrician, doctor, lawyer, nurse. The list goes on and on. All of these callings, which people of the world occupy too, but especially talking now about God's children, about the baptized. For you who have been called by the gospel to faith, God says he has a special purpose for each of you in your earthly calling as well. Some of those vocations that I mentioned are chosen by us. A person chooses whether to be a doctor or a lawyer or a food server. But even then, the talents and the opportunities necessary for each one of those vocations aren't given equally to everyone. Some of us were never given the talents or abilities to be fighters, soldiers, strong men who defend other people. So we had to choose other vocations. Other vocations are assigned to us by God without any choice on our part, through our parents or other circumstances of life, like if you're a boy or a girl, a son or a daughter. You don't choose those things. Those things are assigned by God. Or if you're born of royal blood or not, which doesn't pertain to us in the United States so much, but it used to matter a whole lot in the countries of Europe. Or whether you're born wealthy or born in poverty. That will affect the choices that you can make. The Christian usually has many vocations at once. And the table of duties, if you recall, at the end of Luther's Small Catechism, lists a number of categories of those vocations. Look there and see the Bible passages that he put together where God talks to each person according to their vocation. But the important truth of vocation is that every role and every responsibility a Christian has is designed by God so that Christians can show love in all the ways people need to be loved and served on this earth. And every vocation, approved by God's word and motivated by love, is just as pleasing to God as all the rest. As St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "As God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk." This emphasis on vocation is sorely needed. It means that you can be content in any station, in any state, because God has given you a way, or usually many ways, to serve Him in any station. By faithfully and patiently serving your neighbor, simply walking according to the Ten Commandments, this is really part of the new obedience that God has given us Christians to walk in. By simply carrying out the mundane tasks of your life, the mundane tasks that belong to your vocation, even the ones that seem insignificant. These are the good works which God has provided beforehand that we should walk in them, as St. Paul writes. The regular, everyday works of a person's vocation. So think about your various vocations and recognize that God has called you to the ones you now have and is even now preparing you, perhaps, for others. Let love for your neighbor be the driving force behind them all. For the sake of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.